Donalana Kitchen talks about food. Donalana Kitchen talks recipes. Donalana Kitchen talks about lots of other things on
Community Radio.
Welcome to the Donalana Kitchen. My name is Lana Noctigal.
And I'm Donna Prisgintos.
We gather here once a week at the studios of KHOI Community Radio in the heart of Iowa. And we talk about food, farming, advice, recipes, and opinions. You know, this radio station has been around for about 10 years, and Donalana Kitchen has been part of this radio station since, 2015 or so.
Who's counting?
Oh, my goodness. I don't know how we find so much to talk about, but people got to eat. People like food.
You'd think we'd run out eventually, right?
I sit down here next to Donna, and I'm not normally a checky sort of person, but we have a good time. Well, anyway, this is Community Radio, and you are part of this. So celebrate all that white stuff that's falling on the ground outside this morning. I think it's kind of early for winter.
It seems early, but it's quite beautiful. And since it's been so dry, I'm happy to see it.
That's fine with me, yeah. But there was this big temperature drop long about, Thursday-ish. I was out doing my little clean up the farm.
Kind of like, boom, here we go.
Yeah, and nothing focuses the mind like a 30-degree drop in temperature in a couple hours. In the afternoon, I'm like, what did I forget? Better put that away. Better close that up. So, like I said, nothing focuses the mind. I think we're kind of into a new season now. Anyway, this is Community Radio, and this is fundraiser time. We're going to remind you that you are the community in Community Radio. And joining us at the kitchen table today is Cynthia McClure.
Hello, hello. I haven't been on this show since pre-COVID.
Well, Cynthia loves food, and she loves to talk about food, so she belongs here.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. I recently put together a Tom and Jerry mix, but I added Szechuan peppercorns to the mix. Tom and Jerry is a recipe that came about, I think, as an advertising thing for a play like in the mid-1800s. And it was America. Yeah. So recipes and plays and food and people gathering and, you know, stuff like that. Think of it as like a hot toddy, and it's non-alcoholic. What I did is it's eggs. The egg whites are mixed fluffy. Mm-hmm. The egg yolks are mixed with sugar, and I added honey to this batch. So and then I added tons of spices. Think of every warming spice you can think of. And I
What's the base of it?
The base is, it's sugar and I added butter.
Oh, so it's not milk. So it's eggnog without the milk or something.
Basically, it's a mix you add hot water to. And egg white.
Hot water
egg suspension with hot water. So it's raw egg that you add hot water to and it cooks it. You can add things. I recommend bourbon. But you don't have to. I added vanilla to it. So it's cinnamon, nutmeg, lots of cloves. I added cardamom to it this time. Basically any kind of those. Winter spices, as many as you can think of. And I suspended that in the butter. So I cooked it in the butter, collected all those flavors.
The spices in the butter.
Yeah, okay. And I cooked it. I cooked it in like a double boiler.
Uh-huh.
And just kind of slow.
Right,
to infuse the butter. And then I mixed the egg whites fluffy, and I mixed the sugar with the egg yolks and some vanilla in that. And then I poured the butter in that, you know, strained, and mixed it all up. And then I started adding the egg whites. And let me tell you, I had to use my giant bowl.
Like, you had to have a party just to drink it all, right?
I actually froze it, and we stick it in the freezer. And then we pull out, and use a giant heaping tablespoon for a cup. You add boiling water to it. And then if you want to add anything else, I recently learned, you know those kind of teas that you get that have that kind of orangey spice flavor?
Turmeric ones?
Yeah, whatever. It's like a tea bag. You know, you get tea bag, and they kind of spice orange.
Orangey spicy.
The kind you have in the wintertime. I mixed that with the that heated, you know, frothy mixture.
You mean orange as in the fruit, then, not the color?
Yeah, orange as in the fruit.
Right.
Or, you know, those seasonal tea spice mixes that you get.
With citrus peel.
Yes, yeah. with citrus peels, like lemon zing or whatever, you know.
Right.
So those kind of spicy teas that you get, if you mix it with a little bit of the Tom and Jerry batter, and non-alcoholic, it creates a real nice little foam on top.
So is bourbon the traditional alcohol that you would put in it?
You could use brandy. You could use peppermint schnapps. You could use I actually tried some pineapple brandy with it because we weren't really happy with the way pineapple brandy tasted. Because it, by itself, it's kind of like, you know. So it actually turned out really nice. It had a top level.
And now you're all prepared for the holidays.
We're all prepared for the holidays. I may find little tubs and donate this to people.
Oh,
but it's we have backyard chickens, so we always have an abundance of eggs, even though my chickens now, I have over a dozen, and I'm only getting maybe 6 eggs a day.
Well, it's the season. They're kind of on hiatus for a while.
Look up Tom and Jerry batter, easy to make. I would recommend a smaller batch than what I did.
Well, if you're into antiquing much, you always see cups and even punch bowls that say Tom and Jerry on it.
Yeah, yeah.
And, of course, growing up not in the 1850s, at first I thought, well, Tom and Jerry, that's a cartoon character.
I was trying to
figure it out for the longest time.
Yeah, so now we know a warm thing.
Yeah, it's a very Midwest thing. My grandma would make it, and it was hugely popular when she was growing up and you add hot water to it, and you can mix it with alcohol, but you don't have to. So it's kid friendly and family friendly, and people who have issues with drinking. So,
but
you can add infuse it with hot tea that's spiced, or even a cider, and then it'll level it up. And it's that egg. It's that sugary egg mixture that you gets cooked in with the boiling water.
I must say, I made my first eggnog this
you
week.
Did.
Well, it's in the stores now, right? Yeah, so I went home. You know, drop the eggs and the cream in the blender and added some nutmeg and it's so good.
Have you ever made ice cream with that?
Yes, it would make a very good ice cream.
It's a crazy good ice cream.
Yeah.
It's a next level ice cream.
Yeah, and homemade nutmeg with real eggs. I must confess I have a love for the store-bought stuff, too.
It's not bad.
No, it's particular flavor. And it really goes well with roasted chestnuts, I have to say.
Roasting
the chestnuts and having an eggnog with it is like, oh man, okay, I can live with this winter season.
So you're getting, what's that, Kuslig? You're very cozy in your, you know, in your eating habits now.
What's the word?
Is it Kuslig? I think it's, I'm thinking it.
Is that Norwegian?
Yeah. It's like coziness, you know. Yeah. It's like being all, you know.
Yes, H-U-G with G's in it and E's.
Something like that. I'm probably saying it wrong, but getting all cozy.
We need to do that. I mean, there's a difference between being cozy and being locked down because of COVID. I think it's a different thing, and I think we have to learn how to be cozy again. It's a good thing to be cozy. Very good. Well, here we are talking with Cynthia, and I'm here with Donna, and we're talking about food like we usually do. I mean, what was it? About 2 minutes in, got to talk about something good, so we started talking about Tom and Jerry. Very good. Anyway, so I want to remind you that the Donna Lana Kitchen Show comes to you every week. We do this every week, and we bring you recipes sometime, and in the spirit of fundraising, reminding you that it's you that make this station happen. Here is some good advice from the Donna Lana Kitchen.
Oh yes, we have the recipe for a good community radio station. So in a big bowl, big enough to include ideas from everyone, add 1 cup each of creativity, energy, and cooperation. Add lots of determination and hard work. Mix well with talented staff and volunteers. That's us. We're the volunteers. And season liberally with dashes of humor and perseverance. Stir it all together. pour the mixture into a baking pan big enough to hold the FCC license, and send it out on the radio.
Yes, I want to mention about that FCC license thing. The folks here that grabbed onto an FCC license that make you able to hear this were really, we thank them, because FCC licenses are really kind of rarer than hen's teeth, really. Everybody's bought them up because everybody wants to have your ears. But it's really nice to know that there is a license that is owned by this community, and that is where KHOI comes in. And the volunteer part, most of us are volunteers here. We got some great staff, but lots of volunteers.
Yes, Lon and I are doing this out of the goodness of our hearts.
Yeah, none of us in the studio get paid to do this.
It is our privilege to be a voice in the community.
That is a truth. Yeah. That is a truth.
And don't forget, you can be part of this too. The most important ingredient of all is you. Your support makes sure KHOI stays on the air loud and clear. You can go to khoifm.org and click the Become a Member button or call 292-2878. You'll be glad you did. Ah, good. So, Cynthia. See, Cynthia's not just sitting here talking to us. She's on the other side of the table, and she's the engineer for today. How did you learn your radio engineering experience? How do you know how to make this work?
How do I know? I started volunteering here at KHY about a year before we actually went on the air. And before that, I had done radio at a small station in Northern California, Hoopa, California. And it was KIDE. It was a tribally owned, the only one at the time, the only tribally owned radio station. And that was my first volunteer job. I went there after my kids would go to school, and I would volunteer and learn the skills of the board. But let me just say that we have an automation program called Zara. That didn't exist. So every record I had to put on, and I loved CDs, especially compilation CDs with more than one artist, because then you could put it on and go to the bathroom or do something. But it was an interesting place, and it was a very long time ago. But and then after I started going to school, they had a program at Humboldt State University where they would teach people broadcasting on the radio, and I took a course in that and found out I really hate reel-to-reel. I really, really hate reel-to-reel. It's there's a technique to it, and I never got that. But I do love the working with the stuff with ones and zeros.
Well, nobody does reel-to-reel anymore.
Yeah,
so you're saved. Yeah.
And, yeah, unless they're, you know, in a museum or something or some, you know. But it's the working with the board and working sound editing, you know, I have a particular skill set. It's kind of like I'm the Liam Neeson. I show up, I have a skill set, you know. I help older Iowans with their radio shows. And B.J. Kearns was a person that I valued, and she passed. But she had a really lovely show, Evening with Elizabeth, and it was very, very nostalgic. And she put so much work into that show. And there's been a few people. Roger Berger, and the lovely Carol Horowitz. She actually wrangled me, and she was the first person to actually get me to help out with the shows, and that was at Curtain Up Broadway Musicals and More. And that has been going on, and even after her passing, I'm going to keep that going, because she put a lot of effort into those shows, and those will be showing up on Saturday. So there's a lot of good people that currently are alive and working on this, and there's a lot of people that have passed, but they show up post, you know, then just, you know, show up and do their show.
Well, I think the thing, it's so much fun to volunteer at the radio station. I have met a lot of people in our community that I might not know otherwise.
Very true.
And it's so not only can you contribute financially, but if you want to volunteer here, we have lots of activities. And it's just a wonderful way to know your neighbors, so to speak.
Yes, and community radio, I mean, I know there's lots of podcasts, and everybody can zone in on only what they want to listen to, but I think there is a pleasure in having a radio on during the day, and you find out new things. Who would know? There's so many different varieties of programming on this radio station because the volunteers come in and do their shows, and we all do what we are passionate about, which means we are all different, and there's all kinds of different things on the radio.
Yeah, we have a real diversity of voices here in Ames. It's not, you know, it's not just one kind of sound. And I do think the fun of listening, you know, I mean, the way the radio works now, you can listen to radio all over the world. But if you're listening to something local, these are people who are your neighbors. You could run into them at the supermarket. You might know some of them. And then there's local talk, which is unbelievable. They really, you know, we're caught in this thing of national politics and who's going to be president or this or that. And yes, those things are important. There's no doubt about it. But what we are doing here in our daily, everyday lives, in our nice, not so large community, is what really affects our lives. So local talk show, it's called Local Talk, and they interview people who work for the city. They tell you how the water works happen. There's all kinds of things that you can learn about local politics, local issues, local governance, things that affect your life immediately and which you can have an important impact on also. So this is the thing about local. It's real and it's immediate. It's not some issue that's halfway around the world.
And one of the things I found after living in Ames for, 20 plus years is this is a very, very educated community.
And there's a lot going on.
Lot going on. A lot of talented people that, I mean, the people at the grocery store at Wheatfield who work on city council and the regular folks that you would not assume are doing good things are amazing. They're doing this community shows up and it gets the work done and it tries.
And without the radio station, you know, we might be a bit more oblivious to all of this that's going on around us. It's really a little treasure that we have.
Right. We don't have to obsess about what's going on the national scale all the time. I mean, yeah, it's important, but realize that we get along, and actually that's where the real politics happens, is politics are just people figuring out how to get along, and I think it's easier to start on the local level and work our way up.
It's just like your personal democracy.
It is. Work your way up.
There's a saying, what's that, all politics is local. So it all starts, you know, where you live.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, we don't, not unfortunately, fortunately, at least I think, we don't live in Washington, D.C.
Oh, yeah.
I know. There's a lot of, when I do listen to what's going on around the world, I think, well, those are communities, too. It's not just the big flyer players. There's people all
Yeah, they
over.
All have city councils and town mayors. And
yeah, they worry about garbage and people parking on the lawn and bumping into their stop signs. And yeah, there's important things. And I mentioned that this radio station is put together by folks that produce programming about their passions. I often mention that if you find there is something that is missing on this community radio station and you have a passion, consider coming on in and making your own darn show. I didn't think I'd be doing this at all, but it's pretty fine to be able to do that. And yes, it takes work, but there's a lot of good people here like Cynthia that can teach you how to do it. And being a voice in your community, I mean, Don and I just do this for 1 hour a week, but with repeats and things, but it's kind of nice. It is. And we have lovely guests on.
And they bring snacks occasionally. So it's I miss that.
Yeah, well, you know, we kind of lost that during COVID and haven't really gotten back to it so much.
We weren't, like, dribbling crumbs around here very much.
Well, actually, a few weeks ago, we did bring in the black walnut black walnut brittle.
Oh, that was yeah. a big hit.
It was kind of. You would have liked it.
That's okay. No, I know a
you
black
walnut. That show. Sorry.
Well, I know like black walnut fudge and things like that. Yes. So, but it's a brittle.
Yeah, it's just like you look up your peanut butter brittle.
Oh, okay.
Recipe, right? And then instead of the peanuts, you're putting in black walnuts. But you know, I had, of course, like you did with your Tom and Jerry, I had to add some spices. So in the, and let's see if I can get this right, you're melting sugar and corn syrup and a little bit of water. I think it was, let's see if I can get this from memory. I think it was a cup of sugar, a half a cup of corn syrup, and a quarter cup of water. And you put that all in the skillet because you really want to kind of, not quite, but almost burn the sugar. Mm-hmm. And into that I added cinnamon, cardamom, black pepper, coriander, right? So I put the herbs right in, or the spices right in with the sugar.
Yeah, they'll bloom.
Yeah, well, the heat and the water. And then you're melting that like crazy. You know, you got to stir it. Oh, yeah. It gets really hot. Silicone spatula is really good so it doesn't stick. And then when it starts to darken a little bit, you got to make sure, if you don't cook it long enough, you end up with chewy caramels instead of the brittle. But so then when it gets cooked enough, you pop in the nuts, keep stirring. Then you put in, I think it's 2 tablespoons of butter and half a teaspoon of, that part we'd have to look up. Anyway, baking soda and butter. And it kind of fizzes up, and then you pour it out really quickly on a buttered baking sheet. And then, this was the best part. Then before it sets up, while it's still a little bit soft, you sprinkle it with flaky sea salt.
Oh.
Yeah.
That is amazing.
It was good.
That was amazing.
It's really good.
That kind of, when you were describing it, I was thinking like southern pralines.
Oh, you could make it with pecans.
Yeah.
Probably pecans and coriander would get you into that kind of.
Southern praline, yeah.
Well, you know, the brittle is, it's tougher.
Mm-hmm.
You got to cook it till the water goes out of it. And then so after it cools a little bit, then you just whack it and it shatters into pieces like that.
Yeah, that baking soda with the sugar and everything.
Yeah.
It creates that honeycomb effect.
Yeah.
Poof.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. It's dangerous stuff, you ladies
do. It's holiday time here. Stuff.
Well, actually, yes, we talk about danger and disasters.
No, it's
in
just
the
a lot of sugar and the holidays. And you were talking about eggnog earlier. It's like, oh, time to take those long walks.
Well, that's true. It's true.
Well, on a day like today, it's beautiful out for a walk.
Yeah, we're thinking about the holiday celebrations coming up and things we can make, and it's all good. I have to see. Donna brings in these wonderful treats, and I do remember that. Trying to talk into the microphone while eating, or even a little while after eating the black walnut brittle.
Ambient soundtrack,
that's
Lana.
True. That's
munch, true. Munch, crunch, crunch, gulp,
yeah,
gulp.
I guess that is part of our show. Yes, it is. Well, I might as well take this opportunity to mention, this is KHOI, and you're listening to the Donna Lana Kitchen Tasty Radio for the heart of Iowa. Welcome back. This is the Donna Lana Kitchen. We're in the KHOI studio around our kitchen table with Cynthia McClure, and we're so glad to get together again because it just food sort of is in the air here along with snow outside. So I hope you're all cozy and warm and that sort of thing. Well, it's time for a dip into the archives. I think we've been around enough that we have a lot of golden oldies done.
Years and years of shows, right?
We do. We have archives, and there's some good stuff. This is something from a show from 2018, and I grow food. I work grow food on my farm. My farm is called Onion Creek Farm, so hence I love onions and the Allium family. This is a show about leeks that we did, and.
Does it include the famous joke?
Oh, now see, Donna asked for a little couple weeks ago. She said, we haven't told your joke, and what my only joke. So in honor of the fundraiser, this not only has a little thing about leeks, it has a leek recipe, and it has a leek joke.
There's a leeky
joke. In that family of onions are leeks. And again, that's something that does not look like you'd normally, people look at it and say, what is that? They say.
It's like an overgrown scallion, kind
very
of.
Very long and
tall. Uh-huh.
But they come in all different sizes. I brought in a couple medium to little size ones.
And boy, are they beautiful.
They're long. They can get as big as baseball bats, and I'm not kidding. Yes, they can. And they're just as good as the little ones if you want to deal with that much all at once. But we have a recipe on the Donna Lana Kitchen website for leek and apple salad. And although leeks are usually cooked, again, sautéed or added to things, leek and onion soup, leeks, the tall green thing with the white stem, there's a recipe on the Donna Lana Kitchen recipe page for leek and apple salad. I got this recipe from a farmer's market customer ages ago. There, go for it.
So it's 1 pound of leeks. How many leeks would that be, sort of?
Two big ones or three or four little ones.
And then, of course, you only use the white part. So you cut off all the green. Here's the problem with leeks that people, they, at the point between the white and the green, there's often some sand in them. So you kind of have to peel them down and fluff them. I cut them off between the green and the white, mm-hmm. and it's a kind of judgment call because you want to get as much of the leek as you can, but you don't want the green part usually because it's a little bit chewy, right?
Mm-hmm. It is. But if you're cooking it, the green really is very edible.
Yeah.
But for this salad, you want the white.
For this salad. So you cut it off between the green and the white, and then on the white part, which is what you're going to use, I actually cut an X mm-hmm. in it, about an inch or two down,
yeah,
and then I fluffle that under the running water, and the sand will just fall out.
Yes.
That's right. How you clean a leek.
Anyway.
So you cut the white part, and then 5 or 6 tart apples, and then the juice of 1 lemon, 1/4 cup of chopped walnuts, she says toast them for best taste, and 12 to 14 ounces of sour cream or yogurt, salt, and pepper. So you finely chop the white part of the leeks, you core and dice the apples, and you leave the skin on. So how small are you making the apples when you do this?
Quite small, because this is kind of a mixed together salad. You want, half inch, 1/4 inch squares.
Okay.
Quite small.
And
yeah.
Then the leeks must be cut
yeah,
quite
about
small,
the,
too.
About the
right.
Same. Small.
So then you've got toss in the bowl with lemon juice, stir in the nuts, salt, and pepper. Oh, and you put the sour cream in then, too. Everything goes into the bowl.
Yes.
And refrigerate at least 2 hours mm-hmm. before serving. So, obviously, the lemon juice would settle into the onions and mm-hmm. the leeks mm-hmm. and sort of temper them a little mm-hmm. bit. And the flavors kind of all mm-hmm. marry in the bowl, and then you eat it.
There it is. It's a good thing for a potluck, too.
Oh, it sounds really
and
good.
And if you want to find that recipe, go to khoifm.org, find the Donna Lana Kitchen page. There's recipes there, and that one is there, too. Leeks are something that the people stand in front of my farmer's market stand, and they say, what is that? And I say, that's a leek. And they say, what the heck is a leek? And I give them a little talk about what a
that
leek is.
That is L-E-E-K.
Yeah, L-E-E-K.
Okay.
Yeah. And I had a really interesting experience. Oh, a couple weeks ago, when leeks were just starting, about 2-3 weeks ago now, leeks, there was this nice older gentleman came up. He was wearing overalls, had a twinkle in his eye, and he said, "Ah, leeks," he said. Oh, so I figured I didn't have to explain to him. He says, he leans into me and he says, "So, do you know how to catch a fish with a leek?" he says. And I kind of hesitated and I said, "Sir, I'm from Wisconsin. I know that joke." And both of us, we both broke into this laugh that we shared this joke without even telling it. And considering we're talking about leeks, I will share.
Oh, you're going to tell us the leek joke. Goody. Here, okay.
I'm not.
Because we're not all from Wisconsin, so we don't all know the leek joke.
Right. It's a fisherman joke. And I've heard this now. And I probably won't tell this as good as my cousin Dave up there in Wisconsin, but I'll give it a try. Here goes. Now, this is how to catch a fish with a leek, but it only works for ice fishing, which is why they do it up in Wisconsin,
okay.
Ice fishing. So, you know, out there on the ice, you stand or you're sitting there either on a bucket or you have a little tent over you to be warm. Okay, take 4 or 5 good leeks, depending on how big your hole is. You chop a hole in the ice. Lay the leeks around the hole so they're touching. There you go. And there you're sitting there looking.
So you like have a circle of leeks around the hole.
Ice fishing. And then, of course, because you're ice fishing in Wisconsin, you reach into your 5-gallon bucket and pull out your 6-pack. You gotta have beer along. And you
cold beer for ice fishing.
And it's on the ice. So you open that can of beer and you pour one whole can of beer down that hole. Huh?
Oh, my.
And then you wait a minute.
Ooh.
You wait. This is ice fishing. You got to be patient. And then, when the fish comes up to take a leak, you grab him.
Okay.
That's the how to fish with a leak
joke.
That's
some good old Wisconsin humor. Okay, when the fish comes up to take a leak, you grab him.
And it works, too, by golly. Okay. There you go. Well, so there it was, and you heard it here on the Donna Lana Kitchen.
That is a family-friendly joke.
Oh, yeah.
It's a food joke. Yes, and
it's a good Wisconsin joke.
It is. Well, it just makes all kinds of sense, I think. And it comes to you on this community radio station. Where else would they have the courage, the foresight, and the creativity.
Audacity.
Audacity. And there it was. And you can hear it here on the Donna Lana Kitchen. Oh, I want to mention, too, that leeks, and we have recipes and things on our Donna Lana Kitchen page. The KHOI has a website, and you can find out about all kinds of other shows. But Donna Lana Kitchen has a site
a
there.
Rather random list of recipes.
It's kind of like our show.
Well, it's just stuff we've talked about over the years, and sometimes our recipes, you need a specific measurement. So if you need a specific measurement, then we post it on the website so you can find it.
Right. Other than that, just take inspiration from us, from what we're doing. The leek apple salad that was talked about before the leek joke, that is on the website under leek apple salad. There you go.
Because, well, you know, there is a method to your madness. Everything you do is seasonal. So you guys flow with the season and you know what's fresh and what's local.
Good. That's right.
That's good. It's
very yes. It's the it is the local food seasons.
Yeah, good things are coming in, and as we hunker down, as the cold winds start. So many of us are fortunate to have a kitchen to cook in, good food to cook, and there's local food around here, too. So not only the stuff that comes into the grocery stores that we have access to, but there's a lot of good
farmers out
there.
You know what's fresh right now?
What?
The carrots have all been pulled.
Oh, that's
it is a wonderful time of year to buy. You know, you cook with carrots all year round. You don't think of them out too much, you know, oh, I'll throw a carrot in because I want some color, da, da, da. But right now, the carrots that have just come out of the ground, I'm thinking, I bought some at Wheatsfield that are from One Step at a Time Gardens, which is Jan Libby and her husband, and, oh, they're so good. They're so tender. They have such a little nice snap to them. And, you know, carrots are really fresh right now.
Right. Everything ages. I mean, we do too. And the carrots and other things age. They lose moisture. And yes, carrots do last
and they,
a long
and they
time,
lose but... flavor too. So right now, these particular carrots are... They're tender. They have a delicacy to the flavor that you don't get all year round. And they're just like, oh, I'm so excited for the carrots right now.
See, it's nice. It's nice. Oh, let's stick with something else that has a food in the topic here. Donna, you often say that there's a certain thing that you don't particularly care for. And yes, we all have our certain tastes. I wish you to make a confession about aronia berries.
Yes, it's one of my limitations, I must say. And it's unfortunate because there are a lot of aronia berries grown in Iowa. It's, you know, and certain people get very excited. Another name for aronia berry, by the way, is chokecherry. It is an old, old fruit. But I just don't like most of the aronia berries that I've tasted. And... So this week I opened up there's a particular guy, the Forager Chef, and I always get his newsletter, and he has a wonderful book. His name is Alan Burgo, and lo and behold, what's he talking about? Aronia berries, right? So I did get a new bit of information because he's quite, not only is he a talented chef, but he's quite technical in his understanding of the food. So he said he was using them for making aronia berry apple cider, just like adding a little fruit note to the apple cider. And he said, this was very, very interesting, because now I'm going to review my aversion to aronia berries, right? He said that aronia berries, when they are cooked, they get tannic. So it brings out the tannins in them, which is why I don't really like the taste, right? He said, and I haven't done this, but I will. If you press them, like if you're pressing cider and you press the aronia berries, and rather than cooking them to get them, you just press them cold. Or, he said, not having a cider press, he put some in a blender and then strained it off. And he did not, he said, don't press too hard because you'll get the tannins out of it. But, you know, to just... blend them in the blender with some water and then strain them through, or you could pour the apple cider in and blend it with them and then strain it, and don't cook it. Now he did say if you're going to heat the apple cider, you will get some of that tannin taste, but I'm going to reevaluate the flavor of aronia berries in light of that new information. Not so raw, not cooked. They may have a better flavor.
Well, give them a try. That sounds really good.
I'm sure it'll make the cider a really beautiful color. And, of course, aronia berries have lots of antioxidants. And they're supposed to be really good for you. But usually they taste terrible.
Well, see, taste is a very personal thing. And you can't change your own taste.
No, and there's lots of aronia berries in Iowa, too. Yeah. Now, somebody, was it Cindy Madsen who was growing aronia berries for a while? She said she was making jelly, and her trick was to let them get really, really ripe on the bush, which I suppose would maybe give you higher sugar content and maybe less tannins. I don't really know. But they are the devil to work with, those choke cherries.
I got some from her, and I made some jelly. I tend to mix my jellies and jams anyway. I mixed aronia berries with something before I made the jelly. I don't remember.
Yeah, you
what
can spend a long time trying to cover up those tannins in any recipe, you know.
Well, by the time it got all cooked together, it was quite tasty.
It's like elderberries. They also have I don't know if it's the tannins. They have this sort of metallic flavor in them.
Yeah.
If you're making elderberry syrup, it's always good to put something slightly acidic with it to counter that and make it more palatable, as it were.
What about pineapple?
Ooh.
Pineapple's got its sweet,
right,
and it's strong.
I'm not sure. I would have to try it out. The thing with pineapple is it has an enzyme in it. Like, for example, you cannot put, If you put pineapple in the Jell-O won't gel.
Oh, I've
I mean, there is some chemistry here. Has to be mindful of.
Or if you make a aronia berry vinaigrette for salad, you know, put it in salad dressing because it'd pump up the color. It wouldn't, like what you said, cold press it, just, you know, to get the juice out. I mean, chemistry. Or you could just make a hard cider with it, you know. Yeah, because the tannins in...
As long as you don't boil your hard... Well, if you're making really, truly hard cider, you don't want to boil your apple
because
you want those live wild yeasties in there to make it do its thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good. See, here we're talking about all kinds of things that we can kind of play with in the kitchen, and then we end up with some real fine things to drink for this coming season. That's very good. Very good. This is KHOI, and this is the Donna Lana Kitchen. For more information, go to www.khoyfm.org to find out more about the Donna Lana Kitchen and this fine radio station. And while you are there at the website, look for the member button. It is really easy if you just poke that little member button and think of donating to this fine radio station. It's an investment in your community. Here we are at the Donna Lana Kitchen, and it's fundraiser time. Consider becoming a member. Yes, you can. A membership is, a basic way to think about it is a $60 membership to get your foot in the door here and feel that you are doing something good for your community. $60 is a basic membership, or $120 a year. Deposited directly from your bank account, or become a supporter for $250 a year and join the KHOI family of supporters. Again, 515-292-2878, or go to the website and punch the member button. Yeah, we're here in the studio, Donna and I. We're here in the studio with Cynthia McClure. So, and we are actually in New Digs. We used to be in the old dry cleaners downtown in Ames, the old Pantorium building, actually just a couple blocks south of where we are right now. Tell the folks where we are now, Donna.
Oh, well, what's the address?
We're I believe 622.
622 Douglas. We're in the little Victorian house with the pointy roof tower that has a guitar on the top of it. How appropriate.
Yeah, it's an old Alexander recording studio. Yeah. And the guitar has been there for a while, but our new sign, KHOY-FM,
that's right,
is out, and it's black and white. So I think it needs flags on it, ladies, or some kind of
like
whirly gigs or something to get our attention, because it's just... Or a checkered flag, maybe.
Well, it's a nice sign, and
it's a lovely sign.
It lets people know, okay, here's where we are.
Right, we're on the corner of 7th and Douglas.
Right in the downtown area.
Right, yeah, we're kind of right north of downtown.
And we are wheelchair accessible. We have a parking lot in the back. Mm-hmm. And, it's a wheelchair accessible bathroom. It's just a lovely place. So, you know, anybody out there that is not mobile or don't think they could be mobile can be a part of the station now. So we serve all the community.
Yes, we do. It's a nice place to drop in. We're actually part of the Old Town neighborhood now, and that's good. And yes, we are. The DJ Eric B is on later on Tuesdays, and he often says that he comes to the airwaves KHOI from the building with the flaming guitar on the top of it. It's not really flaming, but it we're there. So if you find that, you'll know you are in the right place. It's a good place to be. And I mentioned before, 10 years on the air. Pretty good, eh?
You know, it was a struggle. It was a real struggle in the old building. You guys were there. And it was just a big defunct dry cleaners, completely empty, and you know, you show up there and there was still dust on the ground from that, and it was just a few years ago people were still trying to bring their dry cleaning in to wanting to get an object cleaned, and they go, what happened, you know?
it takes people a while, 10 years.
Yeah, you know, people, it's maybe they didn't need the pillow cleaned. So it's interesting stuff happens.
Ah, good. Well, I have a silly bit of a news item from the Don Lana Kitchen News Department. Tick a tick, tick a tick, tick a tick, tick a tick. That's our ticker tape. And I pull this stuff off of the air because where else, off the internet, and bring it to you here on the radio. It was on the internet this week. Facial hair fanatics claim they've set the world record for the largest beard chain.
Okay, what is a beard chain?
Now, see, yeah, learn something.
Is this
all
like
the
a
time.
Leak joke?
And where is this happening?
This actually happened in Casper, Wyoming.
Okay, yeah, I can, what are you going to do in Wyoming?
Okay. You can sit around and grow your beard.
Yeah,
okay,
you know, the old timers.
I had no idea what a beard chain was. Okay, now this is only for guys who can grow their beards really long, and I'm thinking of our station manager here. I bet Mike Murphy would, I mean, he's got a fine beard. This may work. Okay, the beard had to be at least 8 inches long, because I guess how this works, there was a picture, thank goodness. There was a... Guys kind of separate their long beard, pull one hunk to the left, pull one hunk to the right, stand next to another guy, and clip it to the other guy's beard. It's kind of kinky, actually.
Actually, it's like when little girls braid their hair together, and they're all sitting together, and they, you know, put flowers in, and they're all kind of linked, and
it's a bonding thing.
It's a bonding thing. You know, I'm sure it's in some place where they're drinking adult beverages, because I don't see adult men in Wyoming usually tying their beards together for other reasons.
Gaslight Social Bar in Casper, Wyoming. There was a picture of these rather hefty guys with rather long beards, and they were all connected. This was a big deal here because it broke the Guinness World Record. They created a chain of guys all connected here, 150 feet long, which broke the old record set in Germany in 2009 of only 62 feet 6 inches, huh?
Oh!
Leave it to the American. Now,
so we've got bigger guys and longer beards, I guess.
Yeah, no, this is a worldwide challenge for people to kind of, take up the beard challenge.
I expect it's a wintertime pastime, don't you think?
It could be, and it's definitely sounds like it's a cultural thing, so it's going who's going to hang out and tie their beards together?
Well, I think it's a community building sort of thing, and just judging from the pictures of whoever was in this, I think... Even in a bar in Wyoming, I don't think you could have gotten all those guys to hold hands next to each other. So, but they could clip together their beards, huh?
They could be, especially for a Guinness Guinness World Record. Huh? You know, it's a community bonding thing in Wyoming. They probably don't see each other all that often.
Anyways, congratulations to all the guys who did that.
I'll say.
Yeah, Casper, Wyoming. See, they're doing good things out there, too. Very good. Now, where else would you...
We like our rural pastimes, you know.
Cow tipping, you know.
I've never tipped a cow, have you?
I usually don't get that close to a cow. I grew up in the back hills, not on the pastures. So it's I probably wouldn't tip a cow.
They're large.
I would probably have tried to ride a cow. Like put a saddle on it.
Yeah.
Because that's
Well, I've been stepped on by a cow.
That would definitely happen after I tried to ride a cow.
That's just awful.
They have big feet.
Yeah.
Oh, for goodness sakes! Oh goodness! Well. I want to remind you that your donations help make this radio station happen, right?
Yes, where you can get the silliest information possible.
Random. What's off the top of your head? Oh, yeah, that's a...
It's conversational, you know? You guys
are so wonderful. I miss hanging out with you. And your knowledge base is just off the top of your head. You can figure something out, like, in a heartbeat. So you are an asset to this.
We don't know the answer, right? We'll make it up, right?
You're an asset to this community, and I'm so glad I know you and have worked with you.
Good. Well, yes, and Donna's background, she's worked as a professional chef for quite a bit, many years. She's retired now.
Yeah, that part is real. We didn't make that part up.
No, yeah, like you worked for what? Paul Newman and Michelle Pfeiffer and
Sally Field, Norman Lear, and I'm forgetting somebody.
Sally Fields.
George Harrison.
Oh, my God.
It's a very L.A. thing, right?
see, she was it's just totally unmanageable for this kid that grew up in the Midwest. You mean you served them dinner? You made their cereal in the morning?
Got a recipe for fat-free biscotti for Michelle Pfeiffer.
Yeah, well... You know, growing up in a farming family, I learned about food, and we do love to eat, and that's what it takes to make, to have a culinary career. You just have to really, I love what I do.
And you've sought out like organic, local, you know.
I did. I used to say to my clients, well, I'll cook you whatever you want, just, you know, and they'd say, oh, we want healthy food. Well, then of course you have to figure out what healthy means to them, because healthy means something different to everybody. But I did say to them, I do use organic ingredients. And when I first started my career, they would say, oh, that's nice, Donna, kind of feel like they were going to pat me on the head or something, whatever, or else they didn't even know what it was. But over the course of the years, people did come to understand what the advantages were with having organic food, and there was some appreciation for that. So I'm a big organic champion for years.
I think we're kind of wrapping up here.
Yes, this is our fundraising show. So the basic memberships start at $60, which is only 16 cents a day. Or you can be special friends of KHOI who donate $250 or more to the Solid Foundation for the ongoing station operations. I mean, even though we are volunteers, we still have, you know, the electrical and the heating bill to pay and things like that. You can pledge whatever is right for you. So please call 515-292-2878. Or pledge securely online at khoifm.org, where you will find a yellow donate button right there on the homepage. Become a member of KHOI now. You'll feel good knowing you have done the right thing to help provide radio for everyone in Central Iowa.
Yes, yes. You've been listening to the Donna Lana Kitchen. We had music today by the Barn Owl Band. You heard Speed the Plow. Cold, frosty morning, a fine tune for today. And thanks to all of you who listen and send us your kind thoughts. Put your money where your ears are. Support this station. My name is Lana Nakagawa.
And I'm Donna Prusgintas.
We have fine engineering by Cynthia McClure. Eat good food and enjoy life.